We just want to drive everyone nuts with this terrible earworm.
Sure.
Bill did his homework, and over the weekend, he wanted to come up with a different Rio tune, and this is different, I'll give you that.
It is different.
And we're running it into the ground.
Yeah.
Dr. John Duffy with us. Bill left Wendy Snyder. Dr. Duffy is a highly sought-after clinical psychologist, best-selling author. The book, The Available Parent, is available everywhere. And how are you, John?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're good. I was talking about the Simone Biles and watching her perform. It's like she has springs in her legs. It's unreal.
She is amazing to watch.
And I also mentioned how she was raised by her grandparents, and the grandfather went on to say, my daughter had a bunch of problems with drugs and alcohol, and she lost custody of the kids. It was family. We adopted them. And there's footage of the grandmother saying, you know, Simone was always jumping around. She was a very energetic child, and there was footage of her jumping around the living room doing like a backflip and stuff in the living room. And she said, you know, I didn't realize just how good she was. And then I started thinking, did she push Simone
right,
or did Simone want to go to the gym every day? There's a difference.
It's a great question, you know, and some kids do have this kind of like press toward doing something. You hear the same thing about Michael Phelps. Like, you know, he had some attention issues and some, you know, hyperactivity. And once he was in the water, he couldn't get out. Like, you know, that this just somehow worked for him.
Yeah.
But some kids need some encouragement, you know. So I think a lot of parents ask themselves, like, do I push my kid if I think they're talented in a sport, or if I really want them to be, or if I was good in that sport? And I usually encourage parents to encourage their kids to do their very best if they're signed up for a sport and if they're committed for a season, and then let coaches take over. And this is something I learned on, you know, in my personal experience as a parent, but I see it all the time in my clientele, where we tend to either coddle our kids or push them really, really hard. Like, you're going to be the
maybe
best on that
hard
team, maybe too hard, right? And when you let coaches take over, you're really like teaching your kids so many different things about resilience and, you know, life skills that they're going to use forever. You also take yourself out of the equation, and we're not very objective about our kids.
Sure.
So we sometimes predetermine in our minds whether they're going to be, you know, they're going to be the Olympic gymnast, or they're going to fail because, oh, you know, this is my clumsy one, or this is my slow one, or this
right
is my heavy one, you know, and we prejudge them. When if they get in the hands of a coach might say, oh, no, this is my perfect midfielder, you know, and you
yeah
just you we as parents have no idea. We might not know the sports as well. So I always encourage parents, like, encourage a sport early on and let the coach kind of drive the boat for a while. Don't over control the thing, because we tend to do this. We tend to hover and helicopter and try to drive the whole thing. And if we let the coach take charge, oftentimes they'll find something for our kid that suits them good enough, at
yeah
least for now. Are they bound for the next Rio? Probably not.
Yeah.
But will they learn something out of that experience? Will they have a win here and there? Probably.
I was in high school athletics. I played basketball. My husband played football. So when our kids came around, we're like, they're going to be athletes.
Right.
And they did the little, I think you start out with soccer because everybody does that, your first introduction to sports.
Right.
And then Little League, and they both did it, and neither one of them loved it. And Jim and I were kind of surprised, like, why aren't they into sports? We loved it. So then you have them try and find their interests. My older son, Michael, is into music. He's like a wandering minstrel, walks around with the guitar all the time. And now my younger son, Dylan, has not found his passion yet. He likes video games. So then I'm thinking, everybody says video games are bad, but why don't I let him excel at what he loves? Maybe find a video game camp or something that he wants to be a movie director, maybe some film classes. I mean, isn't it hard to find what your kids like and encourage them in what they like instead of what you think they should like?
Definitely. And just to hear you talk about Dylan, for example, you know, you can tell, like, he's got some interests. Sometimes our kids' interests aren't what we want them to be or what we picture. And we have trouble picturing, well, the road to being a movie director. Boy, that's a tough one. I wish
right
you were into accounting, you know?
Right. That's a safer bet.
Sure. Right. That's a safer bet. But, you know, if you have a kid going into high school or college, there's these activity nights. And I would imagine at Dylan's high school, where he's probably, you know, starting in the not too distant future, he'll be able to sign up for, you know, a film group or, you know, something to do with video games. And
that's when you blossom in high school, junior high and elementary school. They have a few things like that. But high school, you go to those activity nights with your kids and you let them see, wow, I can be an auto mechanic. I never even thought about that.
I can fly an airplane. Yeah. I mean, I worked with one kid who he's been into aviation forever. Mm-hmm. No other interests whatsoever. And when he realized, oh, by senior year, I can fly an airplane, boy, he was sold. I mean, he was president of that club for 3 years and engaged, you know? So we think sometimes that our kids have no interest or they're just couch potatoes.
Yeah.
But really, if you pay attention to what your kid does a lot of the time, even if it's video games, there's something to do with that.
On the same topic, John, let's say you sign your kid up for something and it becomes obvious after a couple of weeks that the child is not enjoying t-ball or volleyball or badminton. At what point is it okay to say, all right, we tried it, we gave it 3 weeks, 4 weeks, it didn't play? When can you quit?
Okay, so my bias here is these seasons for younger kids aren't that long. For a kid, it feels like a lifetime, right?
Sure. Especially if they're not liking it.
Exactly, right? So my bias is you committed for the season, so we're going to stay with it for this season and get out of it what we can. I don't expect you to be the ringer on the team, but I expect you to participate even if you're stuck on the sideline. Mm-hmm. I expect you to be supportive. I expect you to participate in practices. This is where, you know, we build resilience and competence and, you know, like that idea that I can tolerate a little frustration and make it through even if I can't stand it. And that applies to a lot of things in life going forward.
Oh, yeah.
So my bias is usually keep them in there instead of pulling them out of
there. Play the season through.
You don't have to play next season through, but play the season through.
But then there are kids that it's like pulling teeth, getting them to practice. And there are other kids that will get their own way there. They'll ride their bike. They'll get everything together and go. So when a personal battle comes up and you don't feel like making them go to practice, what do you do?
It's the trickiest thing, right? Because I know exactly what you mean. I hear about it all the time where it's like, oh, it's just pulling teeth. And you know what? I'd rather just not do it. But if you can get them there, even if it's under your power, I prefer that to not getting them there at all. Certainly the best case scenario is the first case, right? Is where it's their energy, it's
where
their
juice.
Where they're
saying, come on, Mom, I need a ride.
Yeah.
Practice starts in 5 minutes.
We're running late, Mom. Let's go. Yeah.
Never had a kid like that. For anything.
I always feel bad for kids. I saw this back when I was competing and then when my daughters were involved in sports. You know, I know that everybody's schedule is different, but I was lucky in that my mom was almost at every game I ever played. My dad was when work allowed, but there was always a handful of kids whose mom and dad and relatives just never, ever, ever came to see them play.
Right.
That's tough.
That's huge. I mean, you know, to make it a priority is as a parent is such a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, when I listen to kids who are 18 years old reflecting back on their athletic career, and by and large, those careers are over. You know what I mean? In terms of like organized sports, if their parents showed up or were involved and they knew they were supported, that meant something to them. You know what I mean? Like they know, okay, Mom and Dad are there for me no matter what, you know, unless work comes in the way or something like that.
Yeah.
But when they could be, they were there. They were assistant coaches or they drove me to my away games or something like that. Means a lot to kids, you know, to know they're fully supported in the enterprise. And you can imagine that, Wendy, what you were talking about a minute ago, like, I don't really want to go to practice. If you're not supported by your parents, that probably is going to be more likely to be the case than if you show up.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think back, I played high school basketball, and my mom, I'm going to say out loud, she came to every game. I'm sure she didn't.
Yeah, but
it sure seemed like, you know, games would start. She worked till 4:30. Sometimes games would start at 5 o'clock, or sometimes she'd leave early. And I remember always sitting in the bleachers and watching. And in my mind, she came to every game. It may not have been, but even getting there the majority of the time, bottom line, don't we all try to please our parents for our whole life?
Absolutely right. It's a life sentence, and you know, Sometimes it's even after they're gone. You know what I mean? Right. I talk to adults our age, and they'll say, you know, like, yeah, I still have my mom or my dad in my head, and I know they're not pleased with the way I'm doing things right now. So, yeah, that's a life sentence, I think, no matter what.
John, when my mom used to come to watch my brother and I play, she didn't really know the lingo of baseball. So she would relay to my dad, like, she thought anytime he hit the ball, even if it was a foul ball, that it was a hit. So she'd say,
why aren't they running?
Billy made 7 hits today. Seven hits? What happened? Every time they pitched it to him, he made a hit. It was great. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then John Duffy is here. If you have any questions or comments, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Dr. John Duffy in the studio with us, Bill and Wendy. You're a great clinical psychologist. You're a great author. I'm loving your podcasts on drjohnduffy.com and also on wgnradio.com. And you are a parenting expert. There are other people who have other questions. So if people need to contact you, how do they reach you? What's the best way?
On my website at drjohnduffy.com. You can reach me anytime.
All right. You know, we had Terry Nunn in here. By the way, I have to tell you, she emailed me and told me if I'm ever in L.A. to stay and hang with her. She gave me her number and everything. We've had a
how
new
about
friend.
That?
Lead singer of Berlin, and I went to have coffee with her after the show, and mm-hmm. she said that, and this is weird for, she's around our age, and our parents seemed pretty structured. Her parents said they kind of let her do what she wanted, so she was into ice skating for a while and was really good at it, and then said, you know, I want to try acting, and then I really want to be a rock and roller, and they supported her along the way. It's sometimes hard. You want your, you know, think of something that's going to pay the bills, honey. But back then it seemed odd that a parent would support a kid doing all those different things. But isn't that how we should be?
I think it's how kids find their way, right? Sometimes we think, well, at 13 or 14, they need to have the final answer. You know, I've got a 20-year-old who still doesn't know his final answer. So I think we want to support their interests as they go and watch them develop. I'm working with a dad right now who's panic-stricken because his kid wants to be a rapper. So this is a suburban kid who wants to be a rapper. The dad is panic-stricken, and my bias is, let this ride itself out. You know, he's creating and he's working towards something. And do I think 10 years from now he's going to be a rapper? If I was guessing, I'd guess not. Mm-hmm. But do I think he's heading somewhere here? Do I think he's got something that is going to lead him to the next thing? Yeah, I really do. You know what I mean?
But how do you balance being encouraging but also being realistic? Because you got to find that very thin thread, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But how old is he?
Well, he's 17 or 18. Yeah. So
you'd give it 10 years on that, though? That might be a little,
it might
that's
be a
very
little
patient of you.
No, I would not give that 10 years. I think with teenagers, you want to balance the pragmatic with the, you know, not frivolous, but with the passion, right?
Right.
So I like the idea of having a couple of plans, a couple of tracks, like, you know, okay, so, and kids are smart. They know the odds of my being a successful rapper or, you know, playing for the Bulls, mm-hmm. it's pretty remote, you mm-hmm. know? So they get the idea now where we might not have gotten it a generation ago that I kind of need a plan B. So, you know, I should probably go to college. So to work with your kids on more than one track, right? Like, okay, well, I'm going to support you in A, but I also want you to be working toward B because, you know, you might be able to blend those together at some point too. But if you have no B, if there is no kind of practical kind of either college based or job based element to your life, then you might learn to resent plan A, especially when it stops working and that no longer becomes a passion. You become desperate about it.
Right.
And you lose all the fun parts.
Yeah.
You know?
Don't you think life has meaning? Obviously, love and relationships and a good family. But to give yourself your own satisfaction, you need to have a passion. So I'm just thinking, if this kid has a passion, maybe along the way of going, I'm not going to be Eminem, but maybe he'll find some other thing that intersects with it that he really likes.
Right.
I mean, it's hard to say, oh, go do whatever you want, especially at 17. You got to start thinking about some kind of future, but I don't know what the right answer is.
I think
for that.
It's balance. I think you're on the right track. You know, I think it's important as kids enter their later teens that they start thinking, what is my life going to look like practically speaking? But I think most of us say we want our kids to be happy. So in order for that to really happen, you want that balanced out with something that they feel real passionate about. And, you know, I think a lot of us do that in our lives. You know, a lot of us are passionate about music or movies or, you know, stand-up comedy or something like that. Yeah. And so we pursue those things. That doesn't mean we abandon, you know, the job or the family or the other practical elements of life. But to protect some time for what you really care about is really important in terms of balance going forward. So to let our kids do that and start that process early,
yeah,
I think that's just smart.
Is this particular 17-year-old trying to get around going to college so that he can pursue rapping instead, or does he still
not at all?
He's still going to go to college.
Absolutely, okay. He's planning on going to college.
Well, then what's the problem?
Right. No, Dad's problem is he's over-focused on this. He wants it too badly, but. My point to him is, oh, yeah, he's 17. You know, like we all wanted to be rock stars at 17 of some kind.
Right.
And so this is a process, and he'll eventually find his, you know, greatness, and it probably will be in some other area. But this gives him a taste of it.
Right.
Yeah.
See, it's a yin and a yang. He's going to school. I guess you're right. If he was just,
then
I'm
going to
pursue my rap thing here.
Right.
And, you know, work at Chipotle.
Yeah.
But even then, if he's working and making money, but this
he
kid's
can make
gotta,
chicken wraps. Then everybody's happy. It all ties in. John, thank you so much. It's Dr. John Duffy. Again, his book is The Available Parent. It's available wherever better books are sold. Visit his website. It's drjohnduffy.com. And certainly listen to his podcasts. They're great over on WGN+. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, John.
Quick break and then some news. Bill and Wendy, WGN.